Well, hello there. How are you? This is Jeff, of course, talking with Ali. We are fresh. We haven't been chatting for the last hour or so, 2 hours even.
No.
And we are full of energy and ready to go on and talk about a beautiful cashmere sweater that has a slight blemish.
Oh, yeah, just a red dot. I was wondering what the red dot meant for the third time. I was going to say 1,000th, but really third time. Because I listened to this episode too. Watched this episode also when I was missing my meds. I was off my meds. I was a little crazy and writing just two words here and expecting myself to remember them.
You make it sound like this is unique to you being off your meds, because that sounds like that's your usual MO when you're taking notes.
That's true.
Just some random shit and then having Jeff fill in the color. Yeah. Didn't work at all with Priscilla. Actually, Priscilla's a weird example of you remembering everything. I didn't remember anything.
I know. It was a weird experience.
It was weird when I was editing too. I was like, man, did I not remember anything about this movie? But then I was telling you, I wasn't off my meds, but I was off. My brain was not doing well.
Yeah, because you were back from an awesome trip and I was missing doing the podcast a lot. And so I was eager about it and you were just like, oh my God, this bullshit again.
No, that's not what I said. Don't believe his lies.
But this one is about a Seinfeld episode. We talked about that already.
Yes, it is. Yep.
And it has to do with George, right? George gets a job where Elaine works, and there's this whole guy who's an alcoholic. Elaine happens to be dating this time.
First off, that dude, Dick. So the alcoholic, did you recognize him?
No.
Oh, come on. So I can understand sometimes if you don't understand a bit player here and there, but he was a main character in a movie that we watched.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like literally the main character.
Oh. What's his
Nothing?
Name? No.
His real name? I don't remember his real name actually right now.
I can't even picture his face. Like, I have some disability that pertains to actors specifically. Like, I'm
convinced
of it. You do
not. Your disability is that you don't like paying attention all the time. And so
that's
then...
That's not true.
You don't actually have a disability. Stop. You just want to get more medicines. Do you have anything for face blindness?
I was just thinking that maybe it's like my ADHD meds that just aren't enough. They need to be doubled.
Yeah, that's the trick. Anyway, this is the main dude from American Werewolf in London.
Really?
That becomes a werewolf. Yeah.
Oh.
Can't remember his name in the movie or anything, but yeah, the main guy.
Okay.
But so Dick is this guy that Elaine is seeing.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, he knows that Jerry and Elaine had a thing at one point in time, because as soon as Jerry comes around, he just like does not like the looks of Jerry at all.
No, it's like, so you're Jerry.
Yeah, so you're Jerry, huh? Oh boy, I kind of thought you looked like a dude that tucks your shirt in all the time.
Jerry does that, doesn't he?
I know, it's so funny.
Yeah. I mean, pretty funny for...
I think that was like a fairly common style for then. You're a neat man if you're tucking in your t-shirt, which I just think looks so goofy.
I know. So did the real Jerry Seinfeld seem to do that as well?
I don't think there's that much distinction between the real Jerry Seinfeld and who's playing on the show. Right. I think that they're... Yeah. I think the real Jerry Seinfeld, I think there's probably lots of similarities, more similarities than not.
Yeah, right. So his style probably definitely carried over.
Oh, yeah. Probably and I remember that he was on the cover of People magazine. It's like the coolest style ever, Jerry Seinfeld.
Really?
No, probably not.
But okay. So what's Hofritz? It wasn't an actual knife store?
Oh yes, that was a joke about. I had to rewind that a few times. No, I don't know what that is. I guess it's the knife store.
It wasn't that much. I mean, it didn't seem like a good bet to me.
the comedy bets—they're never good.
The what bets?
You know, like his stand-up bets—they're never very good.
Oh yeah, I know. Like he doesn't seem like a very good comedian.
I think it just is that it didn't age super well, or his bits are just. And I think, I think also the time that his bits were more unique, but now they've been emulated so much, it's kind of hard to see like why they were unique. But yeah, certainly the highlight of the show is never the comedy bits. I always write them down because I'm like, what is this? Okay, and now he says some weird point. Hey, what is the guy underwear say to the girl underwear? No, wait, he doesn't say that kind of thing. Hold on.
What?
I don't know. Oh man, sometimes my impressions, like, just words come out of my mouth that when they come out, I'm like, okay, why were those the things I threw out?
I mean, that does sound like a plausible Jerry Seinfeld bit.
I think he has something that's about men's and women's underwear, but I can't remember exactly. Yeah. It wasn't about what the girl underwear say to the guy underwear. But I want to chat because, so they talked initially about Dick, about how he's a recovering alcoholic, and so they're like, is it on the wagon or is it off the wagon?
I know, I've written that down because I don't know it either.
I always had a hard time remembering, and I feel like most people do, but if you are sober, you are on the wagon, right?
Don't ask me. I mean, okay. Let's see. That guy's off the wagon. That guy's on the wagon.
Off the wagon. So the only way I can like remember in my head is I think about off the wagon as then you're drinking and then you fall off. So you're drunk and so you fall off the wagon.
Oh,
you're on
the wagon. I thought it was the other way. So you're on the wagon and it's like the bandwagon of like people being like, be sober, and then you fall off of it and you start drinking.
Sure, you can think about it that way. I think about a literal wagon where if you're like on it and it's bumpy but you're sober, you're like, hey, I can handle this. But if you're drunk, then you fall off.
Oh, wait. So you get drunk on the wagon and then you fall off of it?
I don't know how you get drunk. Maybe on the wagon. I'm just saying the way I remember.
Are they serving? My mnemonic is. Mm-hmm. Yeah, what is your mnemonic? Because
just off the wagon means that you drank too much and you fell off. So that's off the wagon is you are drunk.
They're serving drinks on the wagon. Just do that.
Jesus Christ. No. Okay.
Yeah, it's just you can only drink on the wagon because it's a wagon with beer in it.
No, but if you're on the wagon, then you are sober.
Oh.
So that's why mine's the easiest in my mind, because if you drink and you get drunk, then you fall off because you can't steady yourself. Anyways, this has been 5 minutes.
Okay.
It makes a lot of sense, but this is too much content. So let's move on to... So Dick, how did you feel like his portrayal of alcoholism was in the show?
It was definitely caricaturized because... you know, he would have realized right away that the drink has alcohol in it and would have reacted right then and there, not just like drink it and like pretend like nothing is happening or secretly get drunk. You know, people know.
Yeah, he takes it to his cubicle and just like, like he's like a monster starting to form. Like he like tips it back and he's like, yeah, that's what I need. Daddy's got his medicine.
Right. Yeah.
And then from there, he's just a maniac. And so this is the only time it ever happened in all of Seinfeld, but he interrupts two of Jerry Seinfeld's shows.
Uh-huh. That's right. Yeah.
So,
right.
Yeah.
Right.
So do you remember do you remember what Jerry Seinfeld has taught, like the first bit when he interrupts?
He's like, you've got a heckler. And then they do the whole thing with on the wagon, off the wagon, which I still don't understand.
Do you remember what Jerry Seinfeld was talking about, though?
No.
What's the deal when you go into a bathroom and all they have is the hand blower?
Oh, really? That's what he was saying?
That's what I want to do is spend more time in a room with a bad stench.
Oh,
and Dick
says,
you're the one with the bad stench.
Oh, wow.
Or he says something like, the only one with the bad stench is you.
Let's see. Is it on the wagon or off the wagon?
No, we've already discussed this. It's off, and that's how I remembered. Off the wagon means that you are drinking.
Okay. So they're not serving drinks on the wagon.
No. The drunk person's falling off because they can't balance himself.
All right. I'm convinced now that I've looked it up because, as we know, I never trust anything you say.
Right, which wastes so much time. Oh, boy. And where does lack of trust come from? It wasn't innate, so the essence of this podcast wasn't you and me not trusting me. Have I only said wrong things for 2 years?
I don't know, but I generally don't trust anybody saying anything until I find it on...
Unless they're a philosopher.
Unless they're a philosopher, right?
Oh, he's a philosopher. Okay, that's probably right.
Yeah. Because philosophers think of all the ways you can doubt something or get something wrong.
Oh, what a fun exercise.
Anyway, so Mike Lupica, what does that mean?
Oh, boy, is that like a baseball player or something? I don't know.
Maybe. It's in my notes.
Okay.
And what is... what is... oh, yeah, there's a funny bit before this whole thing takes off or involved with this whole thing, but what is George's whole thing in this episode?
Well, George's whole thing, as you mentioned, is that Elaine's getting him a job, and his interview is really, really funny because he goes up to Mr. Right? Lippman, and so Mr. Lippman's like, yeah, so, you know, we're publishing. What kind of books do you like?
Yeah.
And was that how George mentioned Mike Lupica? He's like, I like Mike Lupica.
Oh,
like,
that's right. Mike Lupica is the sports writer for the,
yes.
for the newspaper.
Yes. He's like, no, I'm talking about books. And he's like, yeah, I really like Art Vandelay.
Yeah,
and Vandelay is just like George's go-to fake name.
Right. Vandelay Industries.
Yes, exactly.
Vandelay, right.
Yep. And do you remember the name of the book that he said he likes?
Oh shoot! It was pretty funny. Like something, something. What was it?
He says he's a beatnik. He's one of the beatniks. It's obscure. It's I like Venetian blinds.
Yeah, Venetian blinds. That's right. Yeah, that's golden George material for you. Right
I mean,
there.
Most George material has the highest gold ratio of all the characters.
Right. And I
would say
I'm getting the sense that like this whole show, like that Jerry Seinfeld may have gone down as like a very lukewarm kind of funny guy. I don't know how well known he would have been
without
Larry
the show?
David. Yeah, without the show.
Oh, yeah. I think Larry David put a lot of pepper into the salt, if you know what I'm saying. Put a lot of pepper into the salt. The hold salt. On here.
Somehow I do know what you're saying, but yeah.
No, yeah. I think Larry David's a really huge part of like why Seinfeld's funny.
Yeah, right.
And the George character is based off of him.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Yeah. So that's huge right there. And then talking about George, too. So he wants to say thank you to Elaine. So they go to a shopping, a clothing store, mm-hmm. a fancy one. And he finds this cashmere. He's like, oh, cashmere. I've always liked cashmere. Oh, I always loved cashmere. And then Jerry's like, oh, this is great, but it's blemished. It has a red dot. But because of that red dot, it's like got a crazy discount. It's like $85 instead of $600.
Right. And, The joke is made funnier by the fact that we can't ever really, or we don't really see the red dot. So like,
I couldn't see it.
Yeah, I don't think there is one.
There is. There was. There's like a little red thread on there, but I've never seen that.
Okay.
So it doesn't pick up on film, at least like for the quality of film they were
so
using.
So how do you know there is an actual red dot?
Well, because it said so in like the synopsis.
Okay.
Yeah. But then and all the characters see it instantly. So we first find it. So, you know, of course, as everything happens in Jerry's apartment, George mm-hmm. gives her the gift. And right. Kramer is there and he's just pounding back scotch because they're talking about whether or not you smell after you drink. So,
yeah,
first
why
off,
was that? What?
Well, because of Dick. So, like, you know, like.
Right, exactly. Right.
So she's like, I'm pretty sure he's drinking. And Jerry's like, well, does he smell? And yeah. Elaine's like, well, I mean, he doesn't have to smell. And like, if he's drinking, he's going to smell.
Yeah. Which I think is true, but I think.
Certainly. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, especially if you're not drinking and you're around someone that's drinking, mm-hmm. it's usually very, very obvious. And not. Yeah. And the smell, especially after I quit smoking, mm-hmm. I really picked that up. And I remember when I worked at a homeless shelter, too, I could like really pick it up really easy if someone mm-hmm. like had
exactly.
been drinking alcohol.
Exactly.
Or when I was a cashier, you know, you could tell if like someone's coming through your line. And, you know, I guess there's two kinds of smells. There's like from your skin and from your mouth.
Yeah, right. Because if you drink enough, your pores are going to be oozing alcohol. Is that right? Is that what you're saying?
That's what I think about, yeah. But apparently, okay. If you're drinking enough, but not if you're drinking Hennigan's.
Right, right. Hennigan's is this magic scotch that doesn't smell, apparently.
And apparently it's delicious, it doesn't smell. And as Kramer says, this can be our little secret.
Right, he's like, I can do a commercial for this. And he keeps drinking it and saying...
He's like, don't even smell. That keeps on like being the thing. Yeah, I didn't notice it the first time, but when George comes in too, he like comes over to George and like intentionally like just like breathes into his face, and George doesn't pick up anything. So yeah, for some reason the scotch he's drinking doesn't smell, which seems impossible, but okay.
But when they they make the proposition that he should have a drink so they can smell him, he's like, smell me without a drink. Perfect line by Kramer. Mm-hmm. Smell me without a drink.
And so the sweater definitely becomes the main plot point because it just gets passed around. So Elaine realizes what's going on. And so then from there, George has sex with the cleaning lady. She just walks by the desk. Right. And then they kind of give each other a look. And he also mentions that it was the Hennigan. So I don't know why there's all of a sudden bottles of scotch everywhere. But he says that he drank some Hennigan's, offered her a drink. And then they had sex on a desk, and then he says that he threw up afterwards from the Hennigan's.
Right.
Pretty mean line, but Jerry's like, good thing the cleaning lady was there.
Right. How does that mean?
Well, because George is just like, oh yeah, that was a good thing. It's just like, yeah, she's got to clean up the puke. Come on.
Okay.
And there's already the weird like backstory thing about her growing up in Panama and like this guy. Yeah. I don't know.
That whole thing was weird. Very weird. There was a mention of Clarence Thomas. What was that about?
Oh, well, this was right around the time that Clarence Thomas, the Anita Hill sexual harassment case was going on. Right. And so he was talking about, about, because it was Gloria, was that her name? The cleaning lady? I think so.
Maybe.
Let's say so. Sure. So Gloria was saying to George how she really wanted a relationship, or else she was going to go to Lippman and tell him. And he's like, but, this can be a little secret, right? When he gives her the sweater.
Right.
And she's been drinking a cashmere because of that really creepy story that she told about the rich white dude that came to Panama and had a cashmere sweater.
Right. And she like grabs onto his leg and like only wants the cashmere, but and he throws change at her. It's a weird story. Like I don't know.
It's a very weird story.
Yeah. Not sure how we should feel about that. In the 21st century,
Racist, probably. Yeah, it seemed problematic, right? For sure. Dude, this is like a good beat. But yeah, so he thinks that he's going to buy her forgiveness, and then of course, right away, just like everyone else, she notices the red dot.
Exactly.
And then the next scene is Lippman firing George in the funniest way possible.
Wait, is it the funniest way possible?
Well, it's just so funny because George's excuses, because he's like, so it's come to my attention that you had sexual intercourse with the cleaning lady. And George is like, was I not supposed to do that? Right. Is that wrong?
Because I'm going to plead ignorance on this one. And
yeah, like I've been to a lot of offices. And it's the first time I've heard about this.
Right.
Oh, man. Yep, so he fires him, throws a cashmere sweater, and then... They're all in the office for some reason. Why are they in the office? But George, Jerry, and Elaine are all in the office.
And Dick shows up.
Yeah. And, like a monster carrying a Christmas tree. Like, I'm drunk. Right.
And Elaine says it's Cape Fear. Is that like a scenario out of a novel called Cape Fear? What does that mean?
Have you never seen Cape Fear?
No, is that a movie?
Oh, yeah. There's several versions of it, but there's one with Robert De Niro, and there's an older one. I can't remember who the actor is in that one.
Should we watch it?
The 60s. If you've never seen Cape Fear, probably, yeah.
Cool. Write it down.
But yeah, the whole premise is that there's just a psycho that's just trying to get them the whole time.
Okay. And so, yeah, the psycho finds them because even though they're, I guess, hiding under the desk, and George offers the sweater, and that's the episode.
Like it's trembling. trembling offering of sacrifice. And, of course, the drunk guy even is like, hey, what's this thing?
Wait, does it go that far?
To where the drunk guy sees the red dot?
Yeah.
Of course.
Oh.
Oh, no. Like, instantly. He's like, is that cashmere? And then he takes it and, what's this?
What is this? Huh. So, do you own any cashmere?
No. No.
I did for a spell, and then somebody stole it. The in college, I took one of my refund checks and bought.
My God.
Bought a coat with it that was pretty awesome. But
wow. Well, was it as expensive as it makes as the show makes it seem?
I don't think it was $600. I think maybe it was like, I mean, it was in the hundreds, but it definitely wasn't more than 500.
And it wasn't all cashmere, right? It was like a lined, like a cashmere lined something or other?
Maybe. It's like the fabric was pretty soft and awesome.
Yeah, I mean, cashmere is famous for being that for sure.
Yeah. But it wasn't like amazing, right? It wasn't like felt or like, I don't know, some other fabrics.
Felt? It wasn't like felt?
Is felt soft? I don't know.
I mean, I think cashmere is softer than felt, but what do I know?
Yeah. I am not thinking of the right fabrics, that's for sure.
Maybe not. Maybe I think about velvet?
Maybe I'm thinking of velvet, yeah.
Velvet's pretty soft, yeah.
Right?
Jerry asks, so they're talking about sex, and I guess Elaine and Dick only made out, so they never had sex, but then Jerry's like, that's sex! And so they kind of start defining sex. Do you remember what Jerry's definition of sex is?
When the sex nipple first makes its appearance.
Yeah, do you agree with that?
No, I always thought, I mean, I think we have debated this on the show, but I think penetration means sex, but I've been told that that's wrong, and I guess I agreed that that's wrong. But sex by itself for me means penetration.
I mean, I wouldn't say penetration. I think anytime that, like, you know, the genitals make their appearance.
yeah.
That's probably it, right?
That's pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah.
But then, like, to me, there's, like, sex, and then that's the word where you just mean the classic thing. Then, you know, there is the penetration for me. And then if you qualify that sex as, like, oral sex or, I don't know, manual sex? Is that a thing?
Yeah, that's what everyone says.
Digital manipulation.
Yep, we have digital manipulation last night. Yep. Nature. I got some manual sex in the movie theater, if you know what I mean.
What? Right. So those are words that are said by people.
Those are words, yeah.
Wow. So do you not agree? You said when genitals appear. Okay, sorry. The whole thing is settled now.
Very settled, yep. And as a philosopher, you have no more reason to doubt, so we can just move on from that.
Yes.
And finally, Dick appears again at the end. I'm glad they didn't do this because it's so cheesy when they have like someone in the audience when Jerry's doing his bit. But then at the end, Jerry's talking about, and then is he on the wagon or off the wagon? Oh, who knows? And then Dick corrects him, saying, on the wagon.
Right. And he holds up a teacup.
Was it a teacup? Yep. And he's got a new date that's not Elaine.
Oh, I didn't notice that. I noticed a teacup. That's crazy. Between the two of us, we noticed everything there was to notice, though.
We noticed this entire... Yeah, it's really, really difficult to notice everything about Seinfeld, but I think for this one, we noticed everything.
Everything.
Even Mike Lupka, whatever his name is.
Right. The sports writer.
Sports writer. Well, yeah. So speaking of which, thanks so much for listening, and... See you later.
Yeah, thanks to everyone who listened.
Bye-bye.